Scripture reading this morning is from Joshua 1, 1 through 9. I'm reading from the NIV. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River and to the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Life has many, many unpleasant and difficult tasks. And we can go through the whole laundry list of those things. Laundry list. Laundry, dishes, clean out the garage, spring cleaning, take out the garbage, not pleasant things. They need to be done. Not pleasant, not happy, not enjoyable. And then there's those really difficult things that, well, if I thought I could do them, I'd give it a try. Deacon, deaconess, trustee, how about those? Oh, I can't do that. Sunday school class teacher, helping in the missions areas. We just saw the PowerPoint presentation. Door-to-door evangelism. Oh, no, no way, I can't do that. Lots of chores in life that are in the I either don't want to do or I don't think I can do categories. And we would just maybe rather sit down and read a good book, prop up in front of the fireplace and enjoy the warmth, kick back and relax, and just let life go on without us in that sort of a way. And when we're reminded to do those things, whether it's parent reminding child or spouse reminding spouse, we don't have to do that. And that's the kind of response we have about those difficult and unpleasant tasks. Who wants those? They're usually thankless anyway, right? Thankless is what I said. Well, maybe after we clean out the garage, well, yeah, I guess it does look better. Okay, I suppose it's okay that I did it. It's nice and looks nice. And cleaning the house when company isn't coming, yeah, it does look pretty nice. I guess that's all right. Maybe those church chores that I mentioned and hinted at, not enough thanks in those either, maybe, perhaps, I suppose. This business of just wanting to sit back and do not as much or maybe nothing, let's call that human inertia. I used to be, for several years, a physics teacher. And Newton's first law, here's how it goes. See if you remember this. There's not a quiz later. A body at rest will tend to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. Or there's the other part of it that goes along. A body in motion in a straight line will continue in motion in a straight line unless acted upon by an outside source. That's Newton's first law. The business of tending to stay at rest or tending to stay in motion, they call that inertia. Resistance to motion, resistance to change. Change can be scary, frightening, unsettling. I'd rather things just go the way they are. All I ever wanted to do was have one job for 35 years and retire. Anybody who knows me, unfortunately, whatever God is trying to do, and he doesn't give me anything I can't handle so far, he's got a different agenda on that one for me. I can't do it. I can't, Lord. I don't know what's up here. Well, I know I should do that committee thing at church. Or I know I should do that helping out with the youth group. Or I know I should, you fill in the blank. But I can't. And maybe you're right. I can't. Maybe there's help out there. Yeah. Let's consider the nation of Israel. 40 years of desert life. The only things on the menu, manna and quails. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how good it is. Same place for 40 years. Now here comes Moses and Joshua. Gather all the people around. All right, folks, the easy part is over. Now it's going to get tough. Think there was any inertia there? I kind of think it was. A little background to Joshua 1. You might want to be sure you're looking there. And we'll be spending most of our time there in just a moment. For 430 years, the family of Jacob had been in Egypt. They went down. Here's my maps. I don't work without a map. I have to think about how I want to do this without a map now. They went down from Israel down to Egypt because of the famine, and also because, oh yes, Joseph was now there to help them out. And for a few years, things were wonderful. And then Egypt was conquered by outside invaders. Things got bad with slavery. Egypt finally kicked out the bad guys and got their land to themselves again and made it worse. And it's now terrible slavery. God, they cry out to God. God calls Moses. And talk about your human inertia. Read Exodus 3 and 4. And you find out if there's a little inertia and resistance to change in the comfortable. He was comfortable in his just being a shepherd wandering around in the desert. Now, to me, that doesn't exactly do it for me. Anything else, or give me anything other job to do, I'll do it. Finally, he does. God applies that outside force. And he was God's choice to lead the people. Now, everything got easy now, right? Well, you got your plagues. You got your Red Sea. You got your desert, as I mentioned. No food and no water right at the beginning. The Amalekites who were in, here's the Sinai Peninsula. The Amalekites who were there attacked them almost immediately. Had to fight that off. Moses goes up on mountain when they get to Sinai. 40 days he's there. They didn't think he was ever coming back. They had the golden calf. God was unhappy. People died as a result of that. Then they go up to Kadesh Barnea. They're looking into the promised land, ready to go in there. They send the spies out. It's a beautiful land. Look at this fruit that we got here. Pomegranates and figs and milk and honey and so on. Terrific land. That was unanimous. That was a unanimous report. Everybody agreed on that one. And also everybody agreed the big, tall, strong cities and strong soldiers there. But they decided, I don't think we want to do that. I don't think we can do it. So what happens? God's angry. God says, all right, everybody who voted against that motion, we had a business meeting coming up too. Anyway, everybody who voted against that, I don't know where I got that. Everybody who voted against that motion has to die. Finishing out, there's my voice cutting out, 40 years in the wilderness with people dying. 1.5 million as a conservative guess of how many people die. And then this business of no food, no water, only manna and quails, and not to mention there's no shopping malls, no McDonald's, no TV, and no pizza. That was just a snap, wasn't it? Right. Most of the Israelites even wanted to go back to Egypt where they had been slaves. Yes, we got whipped and beaten and had to work 18-hour days, but we had a square meal. Deuteronomy 31. I'm going to back up a couple pages from my Joshua 1 for just a moment. Here is Moses talking to Israel and Joshua right before he dies, and then we get to our text. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8, but I'm just going to pick out some portions along the way here. Moses speaking, verse 2. I'm 120 years old. I will not be able to cross the Jordan and lead you into the promised land, he says. But the Lord will lead you across the Jordan River. Verse 3. Do what? Wait a minute. Look down. And this is a very unique situation. On the east side, highly elevated, so they could literally look almost straight down into the Jordan Valley and see the river, and then rising sharply on the west side, they can see the promised land. From where they were here, they were literally able to look down, see the river, look a little further up and across, and see most of the promised land right there. Look down. God crossed the river. Flood stage. Does that mean anything? Flood stage. But, verse, and still in Deuteronomy 31. Where am I at here next? Verse 4. The Lord will do to those nations what he did to Sihon and Og. Filling in on that one. Two kings that they had just defeated in battle right before the story picks up at this point. They had defeated those kings. I thought that'd be enough. Wasn't that enough, Lord? Two battles. We fought enough. I just want to go in there and settle down and kick off my shoes. Nope, more battles. Resistance to motion there. Verse 6. Now, see if you hear an echo. I'm going to read verse 6 here, and then see if we hear an echo when we get to Joshua 1. The other thing is, I got a new Bible for Christmas. Christmas money, $5. And it's got a leather cover, silver embossed edges. It's New Century Version. So I'm going to be reading out of this, and it's going to sound a little weird compared to the normal New International. I'll try to remember what it was from what Greg read. But anyway, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of them and don't be frightened, because the Lord your God will go with you. He will not leave you or forget you. I think I already remember hearing that one before, but we're going to hear it again. Easy for you, God, to say be strong and brave and don't be afraid. It's easy for you to say you're God. And then verses 7 and 8, as Moses speaks to Joshua, what does Moses say to Joshua in verse 7? Be strong and brave. The more times somebody says something like that to me, be strong and brave, the more I get in my mind, there's a reason they're saying that to me. If somebody says, and this is when Pastor Michael stands up here and says, because he does, we do the Matthew 6 sermon, and that's don't worry. Trust God. The more I hear somebody say, don't worry, don't say don't worry and I'm okay then. I guess there's a reason I need to be strong. I guess there's a reason maybe I should worry. But anyway, that's what he says. Be strong, brave, lead these people, the Lord will go before you. And then at the end of verse 8, there's my don't worry, I got ahead of myself on that one. And remember what I said the spies had said about the land. Beautiful land, lush, green. That coastal area of Israel is outstanding. And the grapes and the figs and the pomegranates, on and on we go. Yes, 100% agreement, this is a great place to be. That would almost be the attractive pulling force to pull me out of my inertia and into the land to do what God needs done. All right. Joshua 1. A good military leader always takes his direct orders from the commander-in-chief. For the United States of America, that would be the president. For Joshua, for General Joshua, the commander-in-chief, Almighty God, Lord of hosts. Yes, sir. Do as you say. Give me your orders right now. And in Joshua 1, these are the general things. Later on, we're going to get specifics about how are we going to attack Jericho? How are we going to attack Ai? We'll get those details later. This is the general overall plan, and we'll fill in the specifics later on. So here is what God says, verses 1 and 2. Moses is dead. The Lord says, Moses is dead. Now you and all these people go across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Command number one, cross the Jordan River. What did I say about the Jordan River? Flood stage. This is not like wading across. Back behind our house, it's Pebble Creek. And normally speaking, you could wade across and it probably wouldn't get up to your ankles. Whenever we get a good rainstorm, we call it the Raging Pebble River, and it suddenly about quadruples or more in width, and it probably is deep enough that it's at least, I don't know, over your ankles anyway. But walking across the Jordan River, last I remember, I'm not able to walk on water, the people, or Joshua might say. But 40 years earlier, what had just happened 40 years earlier? Let me see if I can remember that. Oh, yeah, we did cross through something a little wider and a little deeper. It was called the Sea of Reeds, Red Sea. All right, we're going to cross the river. Okay, God, I guess you can do that. Verse 3. I promised Moses I would give you this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. It is stated as an accomplished fact. I have given, I will give, depending on your translation. It's done, certain, accomplished. Now, it's been a few years since I've seen the bumper sticker, but I've seen a bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And if I'm not mistaken, I remember hearing Pastor Hollis having said that once or twice along the way, too. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Should be that simple. Verse 4. Here are the boundaries of the land. And let's not get too technical or worried about boundaries and whether they have or haven't ever been fulfilled. But here, looking at our map, what God says in verse 4, on the west, it's the Mediterranean Sea. On the east, it's the, well, it's kind of northeast, the Euphrates River. To the south, that's that desert you just came out of. And to the north, Lebanon, and beautiful Lebanon with the cedars of Lebanon, the magnificent cedars of Lebanon. Beautiful, beautiful trees, and the wood, outstanding, and used in the Palace of Solomon, the temple that was built later on as well. Outstanding. There's your boundaries, north, south, east, and west of this wonderful land. And remember, it is wonderful. Verse 5. No one will be able to defeat you all your life. We're about to start baseball season. If somebody could say in 162 games, no one will be able to defeat you all your season even, let alone life. Nobody has ever gone 162-0 in baseball. All right? But for God to say, no one will be able to defeat you, and just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Let me see, Joshua. Can you remember some of the things about Moses? Ah, yes. The plagues, the threats from Pharaoh, and the golden calf incident, and on and on. God was with Moses. I guess I've got something to lean on that one. I will not leave you or forsake you. Notice who's in charge here. God, the I will. God says in verse 3, I promise I would give you this land. I will give it. Verse 5, I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. Mine says forget in the New Century Version. Verse 6, looking ahead before I get there. The land I will give. Verse 9. Don't be afraid. The Lord your God. And that's God talking. So you could have said, I will be with you wherever you go. Who is in charge? God. He is the director, the producer, the orchestrator, the star of the show. All of the Academy Awards go to God. No other considerations involved. Even if man has these minuscule roles in what God is doing, God is in charge. It cannot fail. There is a pull. There is the push, whichever you want to look at as a pull or a push, to get that inertia of, I don't want to go in the land, to get that out of the way. The King James, Revised Standard, New American Standard, Modern Language say at the end of verse 5, I will not fail you nor forsake you. The Living Bible says, I will not abandon you or fail to help you. New Century that I have here, I will not leave you or forget you. Very encouraging words. Hey, Joshua, come on, buddy. Wake up and claim those promises. Claim that and lead the people. Never abandoned by God. Now, somebody in this church has a story, and I can't remember who, so I apologize now, but I can remember a story from Bedford Church, my home church where I was last week, of a child being left at church after the family drove off. Did it happen to you? Okay. Never having been left behind by God. I'm a reasonably fully functioning adult. At Target and Walmart and Kohl's, when Nola and Hillary, when she's around, and I go shopping, if I make a left turn, they make a right turn, I get a little palpitation. Oh, I'm lost in the store. A reasonably fully functioning adult. And wandering all around, God said, I will never abandon you or leave you behind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. The Hebrew is the word drop. God says, I will not drop you. Hold that baby carefully. Don't drop it. How many times will people say that to somebody when you're holding a baby? Don't drop it. Like, I want to on purpose drop the baby. Hold that baby. Don't. God says, I will never drop you. That was, no. I used that in my previous sermon. Verse 6. Now let's see if we have the echo. Joshua, be strong and brave. I do remember hearing that one already. Be strong and brave. Why do you say it? It must be needed. Let's go on in the rest of verse 6. You, Joshua, must lead these people into that land so they can take the land that I promised to give their fathers. The modern language says, Joshua, you will enable this people to inherit their land. Who? Me? But I'm nobody, Joshua might have said. I'm just Joshua. Yes, I have chosen you. I will help you and you will enable those people. That I will from God gets over his inertia. Then look at verse 7. The echo, 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 echo. Be strong and brave. I had a student at good old Oregon Bible College, which now has to be said was, and yes, hard to believe I'm that old, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, who said, Joshua is my favorite character in the Bible. I says, why? Well, he's so brave. I look back on that, maybe I burst this poor child's bubble. But I said, let's look at Joshua 1 for a moment. Okay. Be strong and brave. All right. Be strong and brave. All right. Be strong and brave. Why would God have to say it so many times unless maybe? Okay. Yeah, I guess. But really, he did a fine job. He did go away. He did lead. He was brave. He did his things later on. And yeah, okay.
I hope I haven't scarred that person for life by saying his hero wasn't as brave, maybe. He was human. I know I'd have been terrified. Repeated with in the in New International, as Greg said, read, be strong and very courageous, throwing in that extra word for that part. And another command, here's now a command for Joshua, and some of our songs dealt with this one. You, Joshua, be sure to obey all the teachings my servant Moses gave you. If you follow them exactly, you'll be successful in everything you do. Joshua had to do all of the things written in the book. Now, of course, the good news for him is it was only this much of the book that he had to worry about. Now, we got this much to worry about. But anyway, do everything that is written there in the book. There was something that God was saying, to be the effective leader you must be, do my word that Moses has left for you to understand what it is. And then God goes on in verse 8 to suggest how we can keep that, how we can do that. Always remember what is written in the book of the teachings. Remember, put it in your mind. You may not, part of the reason I bought this Bible is it's easy, small, easy to carry around. You don't always have your Bible with you. You always got this with you as long as it's working. Put some of the words in there. Remember, memorize. That's been an awfully neglected word lately. Memorize some of it. Then the word is always with you to direct your thoughts, may help you make your choices, to direct your steps along the way. Put it in there. Remember it. And then the next, God gives more advice. My Bible here says, study it day and night. The NIV said, meditate on it. Literally, the word means recite in an undertone. Chinese blab schools, they all 10, 20, 30 children in the room are reading their lessons aloud. And you read your lesson aloud because it's kind of proven that if you speak words and look at words, it goes into your minds and ears and stays a lot better, a lot more lasting than it would otherwise. So watch a preacher, orator, or a performer before a performance. My line is, I do this and I'm supposed to say this. Look, they may not be talking out loud, but they're verbalizing what they're needing to say. It helps. It helps a lot. And a few days ago, we're sitting there in the living room, the TV's on. Nola all of a sudden opens the book she's reading now, which happens to be Frankenstein. And she starts reading. She says, listen, listen. She reads a paragraph. And she says, it sounds so much more powerful and exciting read aloud. And that's the whole point. It sounds so much more powerful read aloud. Recite in undertone. So read it out loud and don't worry if everybody thinks you're crazy. I talk to myself all the time. Oops. And you know what? Yes, I do. I answer. And it's because I can hear my thoughts a lot clearer when I say them, even if I'm the only one listening. Recite the whole thing out loud. And then verse 9. Remember that I commanded you to be... Oh, wait a minute. Be strong and brave. Brave, brave Joshua needed a little bit of push and a push and a push to get to his point of bravery. Don't be afraid. That's another thing like don't worry, remember. Don't be afraid. Well, I'm supposed to be. Don't be afraid. Why? The Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Whose battle is this on that other side of the river? It's God's battle. You don't have to ask whether it's the right thing, the moral thing, or the ethical thing to do. It's God's battle, and we are participants in God's battle, Israel might have said. Thrice repeated, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous. Well, all right, you can have a little bit of that nervous energy that you're ready to do something and ready to be alert, but you don't want to have any of that, I don't want to go, kind of a fear going. Promises reaffirmed, there's your pull or push from God. A simple task for Israel, right? Cross a river at flood stage, defeat numerous warlike city-states in walled cities with trained soldiers, using only a disorganized band of slaves who had just spent 40 years in the desert. Piece of cake.
Right.
Not very promising. Grim and foreboding, and maybe even doom, you might say. Part of the pull was that food. Walk by a restaurant and it almost drags you in, but drags you in. The pull from the food and the push from God saying, you must lead, you must go. Yes, there's going to be some effort.
Yep.
But God guaranteed the victory. So what challenging promised land awaits you? My promised land is something out there uncertain. What is it for you? Your choice for Jesus Christ as Savior? The nominating committee asking you to do something for the work of the Lord? What is your promised land that you are afraid to go to? Inertia is so easy, change is so hard, but God guarantees the victory. God commanded Joshua, cross the river. That means get started. You don't get across there until you step in the river first. Be strong and brave. Have that positive attitude. Enable the people to inherit, he said to Joshua. To us, each one of us can help lead others to their needed ministries. Obey and know and meditate on my law. That works for all time, all people. It will direct and guide you. And the help available, God says, I will be with you as I was with Moses. Read Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on, if you need any confirmation on that one. Wherever you go, I will not drop you. I need to replay this over and over for myself. Most of the time I'm preaching to myself, and I just let you listen anyway. God doesn't lose. I need to stay with him. You need to stay with him. If you felt I can't, maybe you're right, but remember this. But with God's help, you can. Almighty God, no one of us knows the future, but you do. So whatever our promised land is that's out there that might be challenging, unsettling, difficult, frightening for us, I just want to take the words that you gave to Joshua to my heart and encourage that for all of us, that you told us that the battle is already won, that you have the blessings and the victory in store for us if we just walk with you and trust you. So indeed, if we cannot and we realize that, we know that with your help, that we can. We thank you for that promise and that assurance, Lord. May it carry us through today, the rest of this week, and all of our lives as we serve you, and direct us as we leave this place, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.